Tonight's episode of the 31st Lap Podcast is brought to you by Demico, Chrysler, Dodge Jeep, and Ram, serving the Finger Lakes since 1963. And TrackDigest.com. If it's on dirt, it's on Dirt Track Digest.
This is the 31st Lap Podcast, recorded live in the studios of FingerLakes1.com in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now, your host, Chris Marquardt.
Good afternoon, good evening. You got me now?
Nothing. I got nothing in my headset.
Now, didn't you just a second ago have everything?
No, I didn't. Never have.
You said we were all set. We didn't have to check it.
Yeah. I had everything on. I had everybody.
No. Yeah. Do those headphones work, John? You check those ones? There's one other set of headphones here.
Yeah, try those.
What is going on? We missed it like a month and now they don't nothing works?
I had everything set up and this was working fine.
I don't know. Where's the static coming from, too?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
How about that?
How about that, John? You got it?
I got nothing in there.
Nothing in there. So it's got to be the cord that connects all those to that. Wherever everything. That might go.
I'm telling you right now. I did put together. And was looking at...
That's just weird when I talk. I like hearing myself.
Well, I'm sorry. Is that any better?
No, I don't hear anything.
No? It's popping and hissing and cracking. That's
and
awesome.
We're getting... Holy crap, it's loud.
It's loud? All right.
All right, we're working on that, too.
Well, holy crap, turn your volume down.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the show.
Yeah. You know, this stuff never happened when I was
never
here
happens.
Alone. Never happened when I was here alone.
Yeah.
You think?
Of course not. Of no. course not.
No, nothing like this ever happened.
So.
Anyway. I don't know. I give up.
Yeah, of course, because you got sound in your headphones.
Yeah, that's why he always
that's
care.
Why he gives up. What does that sound?
That sounds great.
I don't know what's going on here.
I think the board's
going to
blow up.
I'm peeking out. There is a bad cable on that right there.
We are.
Go get in that seat.
I don't want to change seats. I'm comfortable. Are those headphones over there work? Hold on, let me try them out.
Try those headphones over here.
How about the fact that this isn't even plugged in?
That might be one of the things that was causing a problem.
Can you hear me now?
Try it now. Now, why is it
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
I can't hear anything.
Everybody. I can't hear anything. Yeah.
30 seconds ago, when you wanted to do a mic check, I said, okay. And I opened all the mics. I could hear everybody.
You said, I got everything all set. That's what you said.
Then you started running off at the mouth and getting all bent into shape. So I opened them all up.
Well, we've heard that story before, as you can see.
Okay. Well, good. Mike found something. We're going to have to set
those are working?
Yeah, so I'm moving.
What the hell?
Stu Friesen's going to be on later, if you can believe that. This is why we do it live.
Well, all those people out there. And
I bet you they're impressed.
Well, at least their homes wanted all of us back on the show. Well, here we are.
Yep.
Yeah. Great job.
Put it wide right without even trying.
Nor wide.
John, how was Super Dirt Week?
Long. Yeah. That was good. A whole different experience for me working. You know, I've been going there since 1985 as a fan, and this is my first time actually working it. So it was a whole new Super Dirt Week experience for me. I was exhausted when it was done. So it started like the Sunday prior for me though. Having to go down there and help put banners up and put some scaffolding up and this, that, and a lot of things that had to be done. And was there Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So 8 days was, it was long. I was glad it was over.
You make it sound like it was terrible, though.
No.
A long time?
No, it's just, it's a whole different thing when you're working every day as opposed to just being there as a fan, drinking your beer, playing your Polish horseshoes or whatever it is that you do there, you know, milling around, seeing people, you know, that's the whole part of Super Dirt Week. And then you go in the stands and watch them racing. And when you're there as an employee working, it's a whole different side of things. And you know. Believe me, as a fan, I walked out of there exhausted, too. You needed a vacation from your vacation. But it was a different kind of exhaustion this time.
Yeah.
You know?
Do I have a mic? Oh, I'm back.
Yep.
And so we're back.
You, so we got you straightened out.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm in. I got sound, so life's a lot better. Balmus is still searching for the
elusive cable.
Yeah, I got to tell you, this chair is not nearly as comfortable as that
I'm
one.
I'm sorry.
And this microphone's kind of scary. It, like, blocks my face. I mean, I do have a face for radio, but
you
still.
You look really professional with that thing hanging right there next to you.
What, this thing? I look like I actually know what I'm doing. Yeah, right? It's just weird now. I got to look at you this way. I almost want
to
turn my
chair. You don't
have
to look at me. Don't even have to worry
about
it.
Yeah, I know, but it's just it's habit. Like, over there, I can make eye contact, and it's very special.
There's too many wires over here.
So we're going with it. Well, big breaking news. I just confirmed on the way here is that it's official. Rolling Wheels has been sold. I got in touch with multiple sources, and they have confirmed that it's the same group
that was passing out the flyers.
And that the sale has gone through. So take that for what it's worth. But
I see it in print.
It is reliable. I just printed it on Dirt Track Digest.
Good grief!
I guess there's a press release forthcoming. But
was that a simultaneous break? It was announced.
I announced it right then. I hit post, and then I announced it here. So yes,
that was nice of you.
It was at the same time.
It's a good looking shirt you got there.
You like this?
I do.
My Bob Hilbert
hoodie,
sportswear hoodie. Got to thank those guys. They really helped us look good at Dirt Week.
I got a new polo shirt.
Speak for yourself.
I look better than I normally do. Doesn't take much though.
I got a new Mid Lake Screaming Eagles polo shirt today to wear when I'm at the school.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. Nice.
Not nearly as cool as Dirt Track Digest,
though. No, but it's okay. It's all right. Nobody's as cool as us. It's fine.
Oh, brother.
How was your dirt week, man?
Mine?
Yeah.
Ugh. You know, I love. Listen, everybody loves dirt week and all that. Everybody has a great time, and I just. It's work, man. It's a job. That's all it was.
Relentless pace.
Yeah, it's nonstop. I mean, everybody else takes a week off, and I think if I had the week off, like I do for when I go to Knoxville and everything, it'd be fine. But the real job thing gets in the way. You know, I got to go to work every day, and then you go to all the satellite stuff. You're working all night. You know, you're writing stories and this and that, trying to get stuff out. And
did you go to the Super Nationals too?
No, I went to Rolling Wheels on Saturday night. So yeah. I did.
Now, why would you go to Rolling Wheels over the Super Nationals?
Well, it's just because it's 15 minutes from where I'm at.
Oh, I thought you were going to say because of sprint cars.
No, it's because it was sprint cars.
No, you know, listen.
Don't let them fool you.
No, that definitely is a deciding factor for me, but I don't dislike, you know, big shows. Like, I would love to go to Dale Show. If it was at Rolling Wheels and they had 60 modifieds, I'd be fine with it.
It was a good show.
Yeah, I mean, both shows. I heard 5 Mile Point had a
Depends
good show,
on who
too.
You ask.
Yeah, I mean, I heard 5 Mile Point had a good show, too. So, I mean, hey, good for both of them. But, you know, for me, being 15 minutes from Syracuse when you get done it, you know, by the time I'm all said and done, packing up and putting, you know, getting the radio off and doing interviews and whatever else you got to do, it's, you know, it's 6 o'clock.
Right.
So my options are to do what? I mean, I'm not like a casual fan where I can just book out of there and, you know, I don't have stuff or other responsibilities. So it just makes it easier for me. You know, and I'm fortunate. I had a great team of folks at Dirt Week this year that really busted their butts. I mean, they worked their tails off for me. You know, Bill Foley came on board with us this week and, you know, between him and John Douglas and myself, we covered pretty much every angle or anything you can get. You know, Leon Andrews wrote a couple stories for us. I mean, there was just – it was great. And my photographers kicked butt. I had a good week there. So it was our – if we're looking at it from a positive and a happy perspective, not all the work you got to do, but it was probably the best week in the history of the site since the new ownership group is
that's awesome
taking control. Yeah, we did exceptionally well. And again, you know, I put a post up in the forum. I thank the fans. I mean, that's ultimately who helped us. You know, normally you see a drop off on the weekend coverage because everybody shows up for Super Dirt Week, and this year our numbers actually grew, and every day we had more people on the front page. And our live coverage,
you had all the coverage, people watching the coverage because you had a rock star there.
Who's that?
You had Clinton on the scene.
Well, Clinton on the scene.
he's a rock star, that guy.
Yeah, I mean, there was some, you know, Clint, we don't see him much. You know, those guys live, him and Adam.
Once a year.
Yeah, him and Adam come in for Dirt
Canadian
Week.
Yeah, Canadian Thanksgiving.
You know, there are help at Dirt Week, you know, and I got to tell you, Clint and his man JT, they freaking crushed the video stuff. I mean, they put up every 2 minutes he's coming in uploading interviews, or you know, a guy drop out of the race, they'd go find him, ask him what happened, and get an interview and put it. I mean, it was pretty good. I mean, I can't.
It's awesome.
It was awesome. You know, you can't ask for more than that. And again, none of us do this for the money. You know that. I mean, it's it's more about the love of the sport. But and if it wasn't for all those folks willing to do what they do for me for basically nothing other than some free food once in a while and some clothing, you know, we wouldn't be able to do what we did. So you know, again, it is appreciated for, you know, again, all the help. And again, like I said, I appreciate all the fans that helped us, and I appreciate all the people on Twitter and, you know, and on Facebook that have thanked us and appreciate what we do, because you do it because you like it. It's not, you know, again, it's not our job. You know, I'm a school teacher. George sells pools. You know, Adam sells trucks. You know, Clint does his thing. We all kind of do our own thing. You know, GT doesn't even live here. He lives in Florida, comes up for 1 week. You know, so it's nice to be able to have it all come together and do as well as we did. You know, we had a great week. I don't think it was as good as Stewie's week, though. Stewie had a pretty good weekend. You know, fifth place in a win, and in a
Stewie, Shepard, and Brett had a really good week.
Yeah, it was. Well, Stewie broke the motor there, the small block motor, so that kind of put a damper on it. But he started the week good at winning. Yeah, or Shepard. Yeah, sorry, yeah. Shepard winning at Weedsport, and you know, there's a lot of talk about Weedsport. I thought the place looked amazing. This is the first time I've been back. That place was awesome. It does.
Place what a awesome. great job they've done with that place.
You know, I don't know.
You don't even recognize it anymore.
No, it does not.
It's not the same place.
No. I mean, the one thing, you know, the one issue everybody's
that's right. You didn't go to the live show.
I couldn't. I had
John had been there.
Yeah, I couldn't go. Just
you were there. Oh, that's right. The Big Black Show. You.
I couldn't. I was there. In Knoxville. Right. Yeah, that's I was right. In Knoxville. Yep.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Because they had changed since that show to the Super Dirt Week show.
Well, now it's red clay and all that. All those
changes.
They put
down the new clay, and they added more stands down in turn four.
Yeah, the big
we're not there.
The only complaint, you know, the only complaint that we had, or that people were that I were talking to, is the surface. They weren't. It was slippery, and even Jimmy
no
Phelps.
Grip. I know the drivers complaining.
Yeah, and
no
Jimmy
grip.
Phelps, even Jimmy
but it was
Phelps,
the first race on it.
Right, Jimmy Phelps even said, you know, look, we got some work to do with this clay. We don't know it. We haven't.
Well, yeah,
and he said we're going to do everything we can to get it. To get it better. So if you read my story from, I think I talked to him Thursday night at Brewerton after, I mean, who won Thursday night at Brewerton? Oh, my God.
Brett
Hearn. Yeah. Okay. I one of the things that I talked to Jimmy Phelps about was, hey, you know, a lot of the complaints have been about the clay. What do you guys, you know, what are your plans? And he said, we got to figure it out. You know, it's the first race on it. We didn't want it to get rough. And
that's the thing that really surprised me. That night I saw Matt during the course of the evening,
mm-hmm.
and I asked him if him and Jimmy had a chance to even get on the racetrack prior to Wednesday's race.
No.
And he said no. They hadn't even been on it.
Right.
Which, you know, a lot of people just assume because they're housed right there, their shop's right there
right.
on the
premises. Yeah, they said they did a
people
couple of
laps.
People
think that they can go on that track anytime they want, and they hadn't even been on it. So yep. They hadn't even had a chance to test it on their own.
Yeah.
That was the first they hit it was with everybody else.
Yeah. So that was a good show. Brewerton, it never disappoints. I mean, it was a good race again. I mean, Brett Hurd started on the knob and won, but everything behind him was impressive. You know, it was fun to watch. And not that Brett had it easy. I mean, he was stalked. He was hounded the whole race. Danny was there. Yeah, I mean, it was a great race. Jimmy Phelps had a great battle. Ryan Soucy, I mean, what a story that week was. I mean, it didn't end all that well for him. But
a
story he was winning the win in your in. That win in your in race on Friday, on Saturday night, was probably the best modified race I've seen at Brewerton, at Rolling Wheels. And it was awesome.
And he won in Jeremy Corcoran's car.
Yeah, it was and he came from, like, he went in and pitted. And he came back out, like, last out of, like, 15 cars on the track. And he raced his way up through and with, like, three to go past. I don't even remember who he passed. This tells you how much I remember the week. But made the Chris Heil. Pass Heil for the lead.
Yeah.
On the outside. It was awesome. And then the sprint car race. Everybody says, oh, there's no passing sprint cars. Whatever. That was a great race. Donnie Schott started fifth. Battled the gravel. Ultimately got him. So that was a good race. I mean, I wasn't disappointed with anything. Overall, this was probably the best racing I saw at a Super Dirt Week since I've been going, in terms of guys being able to race and pass and do their thing. I mean, it was that good. I mean, the Silver Crown race.
Yeah, a lot of people were really pissing and moaning about the Silver Crown race at Super Dirt Week, which majority of those people aren't wingless fans to begin with because they don't know any of those guys.
I got to
they don't
you,
follow it.
I mean, I know them. You know, I
know
have some knowledge of it.
I know no majority of those guys that were there.
It was a disappointment.
I was glad they were there, but the major disappointment was just the lack of cars.
Well, then the other thing that sucks.
And that's why, you know.
The lack of cars
You don't
sucks.
Generally see the greatest of shows all the time at Syracuse anyway. That place is historically very difficult. It's tough to pass.
How was the Pro Stock race this year?
We all know that. But having only 15 cars there in attendance, that's what really kind of
hurt
that show.
Yeah, the other thing, I mean, it was 78 laps, I think it was, right?
Yeah. Yep.
It just, everybody rode around for, it was like, I guess it was like
but every other race. But I will say, the race was entertaining at the very end.
At the end, it was a good race.
It like, was a very good race.
Like the last lap,
I mean, Bobby East led the majority of the race. Cody Swanson got him late. And then AJ Fike got to Swanson
and
took a shot at him going into one on a final lap. At least he made it interesting.
If Steve Buckwalter wasn't there in the middle of it,
mm-hmm.
I think Fike gets him.
Because he was coming up
he
on.
He got shoved
Swanson
out.
Swanson was coming up on that
traffic him out.
And Fike yep. gave it a shot on the outside and it just yep. didn't stick.
Yeah.
But at least he made it interesting on the final lap. So all in all, that race, the ending was fairly exciting.
Right.
You know?
I agree. Yeah, I thought it was the end was good. The only other tough thing about it was there's so many cars now. Like, there was no, the infield was out of control.
Oh, yeah.
It was packed in there.
They got to do something about,
I don't know what to
do. And I don't know what the solution is, but the pit areas, there's pit areas everywhere now.
Yeah, it's just, it's
crazy. You know, your pro stock guys are way over in 3 and 4. The sportsmen are way over in 1 and 2. The USAC hauler.
We're in the middle of the infield.
We're in the, where our camping spot is.
Used to be,
is
right?
Where the haulers were for yeah. them. Our camping spot got shoved down
right.
10 spots to make room for the USAC hauler parking. And, you know, and they pitted the cars on the cinder track. And then obviously your modifies were all pitted in the normal pit area on the front stretch.
Yeah.
But, I really don't know what the solution is there.
I don't know.
The pit areas, they're everywhere. They're scattered all over the place. And, you know, for me, obviously doing all my contingency stuff with the decals, I had to do all 4 classes
ooh.
This week, not just the big box like I did all summer. So, you know, I'm chasing these guys all over all these pit areas, and you don't know where anybody is. Like, a lot of the pro stock and sportsman guys, I know some, but I don't know a lot of them.
Right.
So I don't even know who I'm looking for.
Right.
To go inspect a certain car. I just know I'm looking for a number 4. What right. does it look like? I don't know. You know?
Yeah.
And you're chasing them all over the
yeah,
grounds
it's,
looking
it's,
for these
it's
cars.
Tough. And, you know, again, I don't know if there's a solution there.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of cars that was good, but figure out
the pro stock pit area was like a makeshift pit area. They put up fencing, but the fencing was only on certain sides,
right.
You could actually walk right in there. It was part of the whole midway,
right?
Where your vendors and stuff are. In,
right.
In
I don't know. I guess that's a great problem to have.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean, too many cars. Ultimately, there was too
you
many
want
cars.
A lot of cars, of right. course.
You know, and then the other crazy thing you got people not paying attention on their golf carts, or whatever, and just driving.
That's,
like, I mean,
me,
I'm walking
to
up.
To me, that's the biggest issue, and it has been for the last 20 years.
Yeah, with just Super pay League. Attention
with the ATVs and the golf carts. It's such a serious problem. I wish it could be policed more. I understand the income that it brings because you got to register every single one of them.
And I'm not saying
but
take them away.
It, those things
but
should be allowed only for teams because they use it to push the car around. Random fans that just buy pit passes like, don't have anything to do with teams, and they're running in and out of the pit area, and most of them are drunk.
Like we had a golf carts for our staff,
right?
You know, and that's just because we got guys all over, so mm-hmm. we want to be able to get them. And if something happens, we want to be able to bring them a battery. You know, whatever.
It's a serious bitch walking around on foot, though.
Yeah. Oh, it is because it sucks.
I was more walking around the pit area all week. Again, this is my first time working Super Dirt Week, so I spent more time in the pits than I ever have there.
Yeah.
So for me, it was more. I was more on alert and more worried about getting run over by an ATV or a golf cart than it was a race car.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Me too.
They're
same
coming
thing.
From all different directions, and they just.
Yep. Me too.
They're screaming as wide open through the pit area, and they're not. Most of them, they're not even paying attention.
Yep. No,
you know,
I agree.
They don't even know what the hell they're doing.
And that's my biggest issue with it. Like, is you got people, and I mean, I'm standing on the side. I'm standing out of the way. I mean, I'm over next to a hauler, up against it, and I nearly got run over.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm standing here. I'm not in the middle of the road. I'm out of the way, and you're 3 inches from running my foot over.
Right. It is huge issue, and it has been for years.
Yeah,
but again,
so.
I understand the income that those things bring in for World Racing Group, so they're never going to do away with it totally, but I wish we could
police problem,
it somehow.
Right, I have no problem with it, but you know, you shouldn't have anybody that's drinking should not be in the pits on a golf cart
no,
or any
I,
of that.
No, I agree, and again,
even
I don't know how
if,
you police
if you're there,
that. But
if you're there for fun, stay on
fans,
the pits.
Fans should not be allowed to bring those things in the pit area. It should be just for teams. A team has a registered golf cart or ATV because they use it to push the car, mm-hmm. whatever. But a lot of those coming in and out of there are just random fans who bought pit passes.
Yeah.
And they registered their golf cart.
Right. And then they're drinking all day and acting like idiots.
Exactly.
And then they're
running around in there.
Again, I have no problem with people wanting to go into pits and all that. I think that's fine. But if you're going to drink and you're going to drive your golf cart, stay. Don't do it there.
Yeah.
Don't do it in the pit area.
Because it's extremely
during the middle
dangerous.
Of the day because it's just. And again, it's one thing at night when you know everybody's having fun. There's no race cars.
Well, that was the other issue.
Have fun with that. That's fine. I have no problem with that. Everybody knows that.
That was the other issue I noticed this year because the last several years they've really cracked down. The golf carts and the four wheelers have to be put away by a certain time at night. This year they did not police that. They were running wild all night long.
Yeah, I mean, I've been guilty of us taking golf carts out on Sunday night having fun, whatever. And I got no problem with people having fun at night, but don't drive it through the pits during the middle of the day when you're. There's racing going on. Right, exactly.
They don't belong there.
Because there's cars coming in off the track.
Yes.
And the pit area is just too congested.
And the drivers shouldn't have to be worrying about that.
Right,
they have
I
enough
agree.
To worry about with spectators. They don't need to worry about all those things running around.
So, I don't know. We'll get back. I think we can get back to that. I want to make sure we're not done. Yeah. But we want to make sure we can get back to, to Stuart Friesen.
You going to try and call him?
Again, we'll talk a little bit about the 200. As you know, I mean, we'll talk to Stuart Friesen about it, but major issues for Friesen during that race had an issue with the shock on the left rear, then had an issue with getting fuel into the car, something that had a vent issue, and at the end of the day, I mean, I was listening to him on the radio. He kept saying, I think we're done, we're in trouble.
I don't know how many total pit stops he made, but he made quite a few.
Yeah, but 4,000, it seemed like he was on pit road every lap, and at the end of the day, they were able to make repairs, and he earned it. I mean, this was not a fuel mileage race. This was not a I luck into it because somebody ran out.
Yeah, there was only a couple of guys that had any kind of fuel issues at the very
end. Yeah, like
end.
Peter Britton went for it. I mean, Brett Hearn, I believe, had a fuel issue. I don't know. I never talked to him, but
I'm not sure what his assumption was.
But they came down to put fuel in the car.
Because they tried to push the car after he got going.
Right, yeah.
After he got to pit road, they pushed the car off, and he finally got going a couple laps.
I mean, McCready, I believe, broke a wheel while leading. I don't think he was going to win it anyway. I think he was going to run out of gas.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I honestly think he would have ran out of fuel.
He was on the same boat as Britton.
Yeah. But you had Shepard and Stewie, both guys on full tank, full gas, ready to rock and roll. And I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah.
So good. Well, joining us here on the 31st lap now is none other than the winner of Super Dirt Week 43. Driver of the 44, Stuart Friesen. And Stuart, again, man, congratulations. And thanks for taking time out to join us here on the 31st lap. I think this month, if we looked at it, we probably could have had you or the wife on every weekend, considering what you guys have done here the last few weeks.
It's been, I'll tell you what, it's been a good, month and a half here for us. Her team has been rolling well, and our teams have been rolling right along, too. So, picking up the win Sunday was another good shot in the arm for us.
Let's talk about the win. So many different things went into this victory. In the past, you've won it on the fuel mileage game, out there, feathering the throttle, letting off before you get to the flag stand, all that. How much fun was it to go out there? And I guess the only way really to put it is just to drive that car racing balls to the wall for 100 laps.
It was a lot of fun. It wasn't the way we had planned on it at the beginning of the day. We had really we were on the same strategy as Timmy McCready was, which proved to be pretty much the right strategy. I think without his issue we had there with his left rear wheel, but. We would have been, right there behind him. Would we have had enough fuel? It would have been close. It should have been, probably good to the five or six laps the way the cautions fell. That we didn't have as many cautions in the last 25 as we did last year. So probably would have been okay. But how the circumstances worked out for us. We had a shock break. Chose to just kind of get off sequence and get that fixed right, so we were good for the last 125 laps. I think that was around lap 50 or 60 when that broke, and then our last fuel stop there, I think it was 90 or 70 or whatever it was with Timmy. That's when all hell broke loose, and for whatever reason we didn't get fuel in. Had to circle back around, come back in, get fuel again, and came in the next caution again to get fuel and then to change tires. We were already at the back, so we gave up a ton of track position. And then, from there out, it was kind of it was one of those things where I was kind of down in the dumps. I kind of thought we could get back to maybe a top 10. And, the way the guys were kind of blocking that outside when I'd roll up on them there, I thought, no way. I just thought, no way it's going to happen. These guys are all going to move up. And some of them tried, but we just kind of got better and better and better as the car rolled along. And those guys started to back up a little bit more. And, next thing we knew, we were up, contending with the top five.
At what point did you know that you had a chance to win. I know, like I asked you in the post race press conference, you were talking because I was listening to the radio. I always try to, you know, I was listening to you and Brett had shock issues, and then you had the fuel issue, and you know, I'm listening over the radio, and you can tell just everyone kind of is demoralized. Like it takes a wind out of your sails when you have little things like that kind of pop up. Those gremlins come and bite you. But it seemed like, you know, as the race went on, everybody got more positive. As you started passing cars, the attitude just started changing. At what point did you know that you had the car to beat?
Wow, I knew we had a good car and a shot. You know, once we got clear of Brett, you know, we got around, I forget, it was up there, Vic Coffey, and, you know, we got up to J.R. Heffner and Britton and those guys. And, you know, we got by Britton, got into second. The caution came back out. They put me back behind Britton. And that was like, oh, man, that kind of took the wind out of my sails again, because we were had a tough time getting by him the first time. So we were able to sneak back by and then go back at Shepherd. But there wasn't really a point at all where, you know, it's one of those points where you get kind of overconfident and the steering wheel starts to melt in your hands and, you know, things go wrong. It was always, you know, until we came off of four and I saw those checkered flags, it was, you know, it was a battle. It was an uphill battle the whole time.
Does it make winning the race, you know, make it different? You know, your battle with Matt Shepherd, if you look at this season, you know, anybody that follows Dirt Modified Racing knows that the two guys that you have to beat wherever you go on a consistent basis, it's either Stuart Friesen or Matt Shepherd. You know, you kind of talked about it in Victory Lane. How much fun is it that it comes down between the two hottest drivers in big block modified racing to win the Syracuse race? It's almost like that's the way it's supposed to be, and that's the way it should be.
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah, like you said, you know, we've had a great year. You know, the past couple of years have been really good for us and our teams. Matt's had a great year, you know, switching teams and getting involved with Al Hanke and, you know, the Troyer team there was a big shot in the arm for himself, I think, and, you know, Gilly and all his guys that work hard on his stuff. You know, it's two teams where we get along, you know, where a lot of times we'll, you know, have beers together after the races, either, you know, with his crew guys or our crew guys. Everybody kind of gets along. You know, we race together at Utichrome every week. But that being said, we're fierce competitors. That I know the last person he wanted to see getting a run and, you know, getting in front of him was me. And he's a very competitive driver, too. So to be able to race it out with a top-notch guy like that is very, very cool. And yeah, I think the fans, you know, really, really enjoyed it. I'm sure the fans probably got more out of it than what we got out of it. You know, because when you're battling somebody, you usually don't want to battle the toughest guy. You kind of take somebody that's, you know, that makes it a little bit easier. But he's definitely the toughest guy in our sport right now. Next to Brett, you know, Billy Decker's mm-hmm. really picked it up. Those guys, and they were all up there, so we had to battle all of them. And you know, I think the fans really got their money's worth. You know, seeing everybody go at it like that.
Yeah, I thought it was very fitting that it came down to you two at the very end. Our sport's biggest race that we have all year long, that it came down to Stuart Friesen and Matt Shepherd, because those are, the last few years, those are the two guys that we know, you know, that are the winningest guys all season long. So it was very fitting that our biggest race came down head-to-head, Matt against Stewie.
Take Absolutely. Us through the last couple of laps. I know you put the D400s on, which is, you know, the softer compound, not something that traditionally works, but it paid off for you on Sunday. And then, you know, talk about that pass of Shepherd. He moved up and basically took the same line you were running, and somehow you still were able to get that run around the outside coming off a two, and then you made the pass in no man's land, or as Joe Morato would say, the Raffadillies out there in turn three on the outside.
Yeah, you know, we were rolling good and got to the top five, and Matt was still kind of in line, I think behind Timmy and I forget JR maybe who was up there. And we had just about got clear of him once and slipped a little bit in two when he got back by. And the next lap he got up to the top, you know, and found that line and just went boom, right to the lead. And I was like, oh, crap, you know, it's kind of game over now, you know, he's found the line. It's going to be really tough because, you know, through the whole race, the whole, you know, 170 laps before that, that was really the only place I could, you know, get the car good enough to get up alongside somebody, make a pass, was kind of roll up next to him in one and two, and then just slip and slide off of two and kind of get cleared on the backstretch. But once we got into second, we kind of changed it up and would roll on the top. And then, you know, clean air is so crucial to our cars and the amount of downforce they make now. It's pretty comparable to a sprint car. And once he moved up there, I could kind of roll down, you know, once we got first and second, I could kind of roll down the hill so to speak, and stay in clean air off the bottom of two and get some grip. But then couldn't do anything since I got to his decklid in three and four. We, you know, would lose that car length again. The car would get out of shape and get, you know, you get in dirty air and, you know, you lose that again. So I could get to him and then get in three and four and he'd get away that car length. And so I think, you know, whoever was on the radio with him was probably letting him know that as what if I was in front, you know, Bobby Hearn and my guys, Kevin Ayers, would be telling me, you know, all right, his weakness is here in three and four. So that's where you got to really protect. And we were just able to get a good enough run and he backed it down to make sure he didn't slip up off the bottom and not thinking I could run the top. And, you know, Kevin Bates, I had spotting on the backstretch and, you know, he let me know I had 10 car lengths. And I said, well, I'll send it out there and try something. If it sticks, then we're able to get alongside them or whatever. But, you know, it's just it's worth a shot right now. If we slide out, I probably won't lose second. I can, you know, try again in one and two or something. And he just slowed up the pace enough where I could kind of get around and then get back down to the bottom. And it surprised the hell out of me. And I know it surprised the hell out of everybody on my team when we're able to get down, get clear. And then once we got our car in clean air, it was yeah, it was just like flicking a light switch. That thing was just unbelievable out front, and we were able to put some car lengths down.
We got a question coming in here in the chat room. You know, we talked a little about the fuel issue you had. One of the people in here wants to know: did you actually run out when you came across the line? Because we know you were leaking fuel. I don't know if it was out of the vent or what was going on.
Yeah, it was out of the vent. You know, you try to, you know, kind of outthink it and get really expensive and fancy parts and fancy hose clamps and all this stuff to hold the vent together. And I think what had happened was, rather than the clamping the vent tube to the, you know, the vent outlet, you know, the aluminum piece where you stick the catch can into, it just kind of like bottomed out and didn't get a total seal there. And I think that was our issue that we were fighting, you know, once we packed it full. And it was just weird. It was actually one of those things where we played with it in the shop this year. We knew, you know, how long it would take to empty a dump can. We packed the cell full in the shop, and me and Maddie worked with it, you know, Thursday night the week before and got fuel all over ourselves and, you know, really, you know, tried to, like, dot our I's and cross our T's this year. Usually we're never have enough time, really thrashing to the last minute to do stuff like that. And, you know, thought we had it, had our ducks in a row, and then it just, you know, started pushing out, so it was weird. But yeah, that was the problem. It was blown by the you know, the catch can vent, and I hate to say it, but the cell is just about bone dry.
Yeah.
When we came across the line, it sputtered, and I stick the tank, you know, yesterday washing or Tuesday, I should say, washing, and it as long as my fuel stick wasn't lying, there wasn't much on it.
Yeah. What does this mean to you? You know, when we look at the history of the sport now as a three-time winner of Super Dirt Week. You know, you're starting to get into that elite company now. You know, you're not just a guy that won it on a fluke or the guy that did it better on gas mileage than anybody else. You've done it three times. You know, no one can take, you know, come up with an excuse as to why you're not, you know, why you don't belong in that elite group.
It means a lot. You know, it's such a team sport, and Syracuse is such a grueling and tough week, and it's great for our team to win it as a team. Everybody that puts so much effort into the week, you know, guys that are taking time off work and our sponsors and, you know, people that are putting a lot on the line, you know, for me and to be part of it and help us all work together. That's what it means. You know, it's you know, just such a positive for everybody involved. For Jeff Daly, who puts so much into our engine program and chassis program, making sure we have the right parts and the right stuff. And, you know, Dale Madsen, who's our tire guy this year and put a lot into it and helped sponsor the car this year. It was great for them. Eric Mack and Lauren Ward, my crew guys that, you know, are with me every Saturday and Sunday, just worked tirelessly on the thing all week long. And it's just such a grueling week. You know, everybody tries to have a good time, and, you know, we're going out at night and having a good time, but then you're up at 8:30 the next morning and, you know, doing it all over again for three or four days in a row. So it's tough, and it's just, you know, a really great feeling of satisfaction to be able to win the big race on Sunday and bring that home with us.
Again, chatting here with Stuart Friesen on the 31st lap, winner of Super Dirt Week 43, the Syracuse 200. How awesome is it to give another win like that to Jeff Daly? I mean, he has helped your program. He's been behind you. He's back here at Syracuse, you know, for, I think he said, over 10 years. He said you two kind of got together, I believe he said, back in 2004. How nice is it to bring home another title for, you know, for Jeff and a team that, you know, it really is a small team. You guys aren't one that roll in there with a stacker hauler, and if there's a problem with the primary car, you got two more in the backup. I mean, that's it. You got what you got.
Yeah, definitely. You know, my father-in-law helped us out a lot. Jess's dad, Ray, you know, he let us borrow his truck and trailer and, you know, the spare front axle he had. And I had an old spare rear in the shop. We threw that in just in case we had some major problems. And it's just one of those things where we you know, put everything we can into our primary car because that's our car. So we definitely don't want to tear it up during the week, but it's worked out good. But, you know, Jeff knows what it takes. And you know, big haulers like that, they don't win the races. And, yeah, they look good, and they might be a little bit more comfortable, and you might be able to stay a little bit drier when it rains and stuff. But other than that, it's really not, you know, putting speed down on the track, and he knows that. And he gives us, you know, what we need as far as a good, awesome Chuck CC big block and great Teal Pro cars. Our Dan Bedell small block is really well. Everything's strong. So, yeah, we're not one of the, you know, the bigger funded teams, but, you know, by no means we don't have what we need. So I love working with him. I love working with Jeff. He's been going to Syracuse for such a long time, you know, back in the Dan Madsen, Duchess Overhead Doors days, he was hooked up with those guys and on the crew with Jimmy Horton and Dave Blaney. And so he kind of learned by example from Dan and how that team operated. And, you know, that's kind of what he's instilled in our guys and, you know, taught Matty Hearn how to be a great crew chief. And, it's pretty cool to be hooked up with somebody like that believes in everybody on the team and just really, really pushes us to be, you know, be all that, you know, just push us to our full potential. You know, he doesn't want to see anybody slacking, and if somebody's slacking, he lets them know. So it's he's a great leader for us.
Talk. What, you got a question? No, mm-hmm. I was going to ask him about something that I know you're interested in. Talk a little bit about, you know, we've talked about the 200. I think you've answered everything we can ask you about that. How much fun was it on Saturday afternoon? I know Balmus is a big fan of the USOC Silver Crown cars. How much fun was that for you to drive something different, to be in a different car that, you know, you may or may never have the opportunity to be in again on the mile?
It was a lot of fun. It was great to run top five with those guys, but it really wasn't fun until about halfway through the race and I got comfortable. It was pretty scary and kind of just scared the shit out of myself every lap rather than that thing. You know, lost it in the first practice and, yep, and glanced it off the wall and bent up the front end a little bit, and the guys got it fixed up. But just really appreciate that opportunity that Fred and Gloria Gormley gave to me to run that car. It's a great car. Rob Hart's a great crew chief, you know, big-time sprint car crew chief, and had the thing dialed in. And giving those guys a top five was something they were very happy with. And, you know, race with those guys was very, very cool. But it wasn't really a lot of fun until halfway, you know, through the race, and I got comfortable. It was quite unnerving. They have a ton of power, and I was just really surprised at the lack of side grip they have getting into the corner. You just have to shut them down so early and get the thing underneath you, and then you can stand on it coming off, and they're just missiles, you know, with no grip. It was a lot of fun. You know, I got to talk to some of the guys. I got to talk to Tobias, and obviously Jerry Coons was a great teammate all weekend. And you know, some of those guys were having the same feelings I was as far as the lack of grip getting in the corner. And you know, they race at mile tracks that have tacky surfaces and cushions where they run those things wide open around the cushion all the way around. So I thought at half speed at Syracuse was scary. I don't know if I could handle, you know, going out to DuCoin or one of the places where they just run them wide open for 100 laps.
How much did the car change from the beginning of the race to the end? Because obviously you start with probably a full load of fuel at the beginning of the race, and the mm-hmm. race being 75 laps, you know, you're going to be running a lot lower at the end.
There's a lot of weight. You know, the rear frame rails are just about dragging on the track.
Yeah.
And then they have a lot of adjustment built into them as far as, you know, rebound adjustments in the left side shocks that are cockpit adjustable. Unlike a normal sprint car, they have a front and rear brake bias, just like a modified, that you can adjust, right front proportioning valves. So when the car was, you know, really loose with all that fuel at the beginning, we started with the right front brake shut off. And then, you know, I turned that on to get the car straighter, getting in on entry once the fuel burned off. And, you know, then I just adjusted with the left front rebound quite a bit to try to hold the thing on the left front getting in. And all those adjustments worked, and it was pretty cool. It was a lot of fun, you know. I learned a ton about those type of cars. Those are cars, they're a lot different. I thought they'd be more along the lines of the sprint cars, but they're quite a bit different with the coilovers and the different packages. It was kind of cool to, you know, go through the pits and see, you know, the different ideas and the different theories everybody has. Every car was a little bit different. whether they were split torsions or cross torsion, or some of the guys had like stacked torsion racks, and then you know, some guys had torsion rears with coil helpers to take up for the fuel load. It was pretty cool, all the different theories, and makes some interesting racing out of it.
Yeah. I thought it was a decent race.
Yeah, for 15 cars, you know what? It was what it was at the end. You know, it stunk. They only had 15 cars, but it ended up being a decent race at the end.
It was.
One more question coming in here, Stu. We appreciate, again, your time taking out of your night. They want to know, is the stash staying or is it going?
it's pretty greasy right now. I actually shaved everything but it yesterday, so it's still on. Jess hates it, and I got to admit, it looks absolutely ridiculous. Having a lot of fun with it, and the looks that you get is pretty funny.
It's a porn stash.
Yeah.
It's not. If I was, me and Jess were still dating, I probably would have, you know, shaved it off a couple days ago. But we're married now, so she's got to do a lot more work to get rid of me than just throw me to the curb. So I'm going to leave it and terrorize her for a couple more days at least.
Are you gonna head up to what's the plans this weekend? And let's talk. You excited about Eastern States here in a couple weeks?
Actually, yeah, really excited for Eastern States. This weekend, we don't really have anything going on. My cousin James Michael's coming down to run the Glen Ridge big, you know, 602 Nationals race. He's going to go slam and bang with my father-in-law, Ray. He's getting his car ready. So I'm going to go over there and have a good time and watch those guys. Just kind of relax, and we're just trying to get, you know, everything cleaned up and you know, serviced and apart, and kind of see where we are going into Eastern States. But we put a deal together today. We're going to run Jeff Daly's 44 small block. Our small block car from Syracuse, obviously just have to go through that and change the body back over. And then we're going to take our CC big block that we won the big block race with and actually put that in Tad Parks's the Fonda car for the big block race. So Tad's going to bring the car out this weekend, and we're going to do that all over our shop out here. So really, really looking forward to that. And we weren't really sure about what we were going to do with the big block race. You know, we talked to Petruska's about maybe doing something with them again, but I think this is going to be a great option for us, and I'm really excited. Tad's got a great car. It's a car I'm very comfortable in and really like, and to put Jeff's motor in that ran so strong in the 200 on Sunday, it should be a great combination. So looking forward to, you know, putting those two guys together and everybody working as a team. It's a good group of guys, and you know, for Tad to offer up his car and Jeff to offer up his motor says a lot about those two guys. So just really, really proud to be associated with them and try to go at them here in 2 weeks.
Well, man, again, we appreciate your time and thanks for coming on. Is there I don't know, I know you've thanked a lot of your sponsors. Thank you, everybody. Anybody else you need to thank or anything that you left out or that you'd like to mention before we let you go?
You know, I got to thank Jess for all that she does. She's right there with me in the shop, and there's, you know, a lot of people get their pictures taken on Sunday, but there's usually not a lot of people around Washington that tear down the last 2 days, but Jess has been right there with me, so really appreciate her support there, and obviously my crew chief, Matty Hearn. I don't think I mentioned his name, but he's top-notch, and, you know, that first year we won with Ron St. Marie spot from Wolf Forge crew chief, and he learned a lot, or Matty learned a lot from him, and has kind of taken the ball and ran with it, and just really proud of the job he does.
Well, man, thanks a lot. We appreciate it, and enjoy your weekend off, and we'll see you here in a couple weeks down at the Orange County Fair Speedway.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Have a good night. Well, the extended edition interview here tonight. Just again, we want to give him his due. I mean, you win your third, you know, Syracuse 200.
When it's the biggest race of the year,
for modifieds,
you should just focus on them.
Yeah, I mean, it was an impressive. That, I mean, I think that's the only way to really say it. I mean,
well,
watch him come up through.
Not even just this past week, and not even just the last month and a half. Like you started the interview with. He's been rolling the last month and a half. But
I mean, literally,
about it. What is it? The last three of the last four.
He's one. Yeah,
or three of the last five, or whatever it is.
Yeah,
three
I
of
mean,
the last
what's it?
Four is it? Or five?
Let's take a look. I'll make it official here.
I mean,
we do have internet.
He's rolling pretty well at Super Dirt Week.
Yeah, I mean, he's been.
He's taken one of those like what Brett had in the middle '80s to early '90s. He had a stranglehold on that place.
Yeah,
and now Stewie is kind of doing that same thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Because there was a period there where Brett could not be beat at Super Dirt Week.
Right, yeah, I mean,
now,
he won...
Now Stewie's doing that.
I mean, he won in 2010, 2011. Then it was Brett Hearn in 2012. That was the rain shortened race.
And then done 13. So three of the last 5 years.
Yep. Yep. And so can't take that away from him.
No. No, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, he's earned it. So, well, I think we've talked about the 200. You want to talk about some of the other stuff that happened this week, Super Dirt Week? I know one of the big stories that came out, it's kind of been interesting to say the least, is the Sportsman race.
That was the only race I missed.
Yeah, I mean, Jimmy Spellman.
I
missed it.
I was busy.
Was the one that was the winner. But at the end of the race, he was found not to have a rev chip in the car.
Yeah, I have not seen any post-race statements or read any statements or clarifications, but I did see some posts on DTD about the it was a chip issue. I don't know
that
the
is
facts or whatever happened, but I know it was a chip issue. So is that what happened when they got to Tech? He did not have it in the car.
Yeah, that was
it. It was not in the red box or whatever.
And now
it's supposed
the
to be.
Punishment for this is this. Okay, you get to keep the victory.
Yep.
But they dock you. I believe they took $4,000.
Right.
And he is open to possible suspension. And they docked him points, but he's not running the series, so
right.
Who cares?
Yeah, if he's not in the point deal, the points mean nothing.
What difference is that?
And then they take whatever half the money or whatever it is.
No, I think they took all of it.
Did they take all of it?
I think $4,000 is all right. of it. But still, I mean, my question is, what's a Syracuse win worth to you?
It's worth something because your name is in the record books, but obvious, or you know, these guys do this. Yes, they want the trophy, but the money means a lot too. And if you're not getting any of it, it doesn't mean squat.
Yeah, but again, at the end of the day, you know, I look back and I look on a website. Will there be an asterisk next to his name? Saying, I mean, because let's be honest. Okay,
I know that's a big topic right now on DTV.
That's the question. I mean,
it's never happened in the past, so it's not going to happen with
right.
us.
Right. I mean, is that.
There's a million races just like that.
Yeah, I mean, but how can you, to me,
a couple of Stewie's wins could have had asterisks next to them.
I mean, if you
well,
talk about
the
fuel
anyway.
Cell, yeah, if you talk about the fuel cell, yeah, sure. I mean,
I
but
think,
how do you?
Danny Johnson,
but this to me
could have as well.
To me, though, not running the rev chip in a rev chip division.
Yeah.
How much more blatant is the cheating?
Oh, it's,
that
I know.
I mean, again, you can say, well, it fell out. Come on.
You know, again, I'm not. A tough guy, and I don't know what the chip or how it goes in the box or what it even looks like. I've never even seen one. But I'm going to take a wild guess here and go out on a limb and say that chip is made to not work loose.
Yeah.
I would think it's got to be – if it's in there correctly,
but if you win a race,
it's going to be in there to stay.
In a race where you have to run at a certain RPM and now your advantage is that you can run it at a different higher RPM, isn't that
– and still win the race – even though you don't get paid, but
you still
go
win
out
the race,
the
and your
books.
Name is in the record books, and it doesn't. Yeah. You know what? You're still going to have that Eagle Trophy sitting on the.
Been an argument for years now, that I for one,
I hate the NASCAR penalty thing.
I for one believe that if you're illegal, you're illegal. You go like somebody put on Dirt Track Digest one of your posters said that as if they didn't even exist in the race. I agree with that. That's the way it should be. They should be at least post, or at best posted last, or not posted at all. But either way, they shouldn't be left as the winner, or wherever they finished, even if it was fifth. If you're illegal, you're illegal. That's my belief, but I understand how these last several years in the racing world, that's how we do it. Whether it's dirt car, it's NASCAR, whatever
no, I know,
it is.
I know.
That's how, people,
just, I just
that's
think
how
it
we
sucks.
Do it now, is when we leave the racetrack, we already know the top five, whether they're
I would
legit
rather,
or not.
I mean, for me, I would rather see the guy disqualified.
Yes.
And see, you know what, like I feel bad, you know, the
I
guy's
too,
name, I think it was James Henry, is James Henry's the guy that finished second.
Right.
You know, so if they go and do tech and there's no chip there.
Yeah.
So
shouldn't be allowed.
Yeah, I
that's,
agree.
That's not the society we live in today with racing.
Yeah,
that's
it's like you
do.
Know, and they're saying it's like you know, people in here are talking about it's like a you know,
it gives the people the teams or drivers the incentive
to cheat because
cheat,
if you
cheat,
win,
you still get credit for it.
You still get the win. They don't take the win away. They're
yes.
just taking the money and the points.
And ultimately, that's what they all race for
is
the
win.
The
because
money
doesn't
great.
Matter.
Don't get me wrong, the money's nice,
but it doesn't matter.
But ultimately, it's that trophy.
Yep.
Not only that, you never really know for sure how much money you're going to lose, because
right.
there's been a little bit of
yeah
sliding scale, given what your infraction is.
Right.
So you don't know if you're going to lose.
They got this fuel cell deal.
They took half.
So he still got $25,000 for that race. Yeah. What the hell? It's worth the gamble.
Yeah, right. I mean, hey, cheat, screw it.
$25,000.
I mean, you're not breaking even anyway, but.
Right. But it's $25,000 as opposed to $0.
Grand. Right, exactly. No, I agree. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it paid $8,000. I don't think it paid. I think it paid $4,000, but I don't.
Yeah, I don't think it was $8,000, but whatever it was. I didn't realize they took the whole thing. I just assume half because that's what they've done in the past.
Yeah, they don't have the what it paid the win on here. I mean, maybe in the race report, if you look, they'll have what it paid. But I know he lost $4,000, so he lost.
Yeah, that's probably what it was.
Yeah, I mean, that's a nice. That is not a.
No, for those guys, that's a
$4,000 is a hell of a lot of money.
Yeah,
for a sportsman guy that wins $400,
it is.
That wins $400 a week. Yeah, I mean that is a lot of money.
Well, he's what, Orange County guy?
I believe so.
Is that the car that had Sparta Trucking on it?
Yes. Yeah. So he would more than likely be in Orange County.
Because I did not see the sportsman race at all.
Yeah. So I'm on the thing right now. Let's take a look here. Spelman officials levied a $4,000 fine, and he is ineligible to receive Dirt Car Sportsman Modified Series points for the race, which, again, he doesn't care.
Because if you're not running for points, it doesn't really take all the points you want because I don't have any to take.
Right, there's nothing that doesn't matter.
Yep.
So it doesn't say what the race paid other than that, so there's no...
I got to believe it was $4,000 if they're saying the fine was $4,000.
That would be the logical...
Yeah.
Because, I mean... Again, we're sitting here,
and right? I don't see that race paying much more than that. So,
no, I mean that's a good payday for a sports race.
Yes,
you know there's nothing wrong with four G's in the old pocketbook. I'm still looking for a victory lane shot with a check. I know somebody had to get it. It's just a matter of who got it. Because that's,
I mean, the small block race pays what, 20?
Yeah, and like 200 to start. You know, I mean I hate being a dork about it, but I mean, again, you don't go to Syracuse.
Start 40 cars.
So. Yeah, you don't go to Syracuse to finish second or third. You know, you go there to win. And if you don't win, you're not going to make money.
You know what? It's no different than most any other race out there.
No, it's not. You're right. I mean, it's...
Although in recent years, we're seeing more emphasis being put on throughout the field.
Oh, yeah.
Which is good. But let's face it, majority of your races, it's all at the top. Because that's what it's about. It's about winning.
Yep. Everybody picking on me for yawning. No, I'm tired. Okay, it was a long week last week, and I'm still recovering from working all week and various other things.
Surprised me a little bit. Stewie said he wasn't going anywhere. I thought for sure he'd at least go to Penn Can tomorrow.
Yeah. And you know what, though? After Dirt Week, I'm taking this weekend off.
It's an extremely long week. And those guys, like he said, the things that we don't see, the weeks prior for prep to get ready to go, and then afterwards cleaning things up. It is an extremely long week. I mean, just... the poor souls that got to wash just even the haulers in per se. Because you know how it is parking there. You don't park your vehicle there and it's not covered with an inch thick of dust at the end of the week. Just by having it parked there. So can you imagine what those haulers look like from all the dust in the pit area, as dry as it was all week long? There's a hell of a mess to clean up afterwards and a lot of work to do, especially if you tore stuff up. It's not over when they leave when it's done on Sunday.
No. I mean, it's... You know, like anything from Super Dirt Week, there's a lot to, I mean, my car was filthy all week. I just heard it was going to rain Wednesday, so I didn't worry about it.
Yeah, I still haven't run mine through the car wash. Yeah,
so.
I couldn't even see out the windshield when I drove home on Sunday night.
I finally,
at the end of the week, on my way home Sunday night, I hit the washer fluid for the wipers because it was so thick. I couldn't see
out the back window. Like, I had to actually get out and wash it at the gas station. Yep. It was bad. But that's because I parked in the infield all weekend, so.
Yep, I know. But, I was too.
I mean, if we're talking other winners at the mile, you know, of course, Brett Hurd won the 150
on
Sunday or Saturday afternoon. Cody Swanson won the
Silver Crown race.
And then of course, and Rob Yetman won the Pro Stock race. Yep. So, I mean, those are the folks.
And of course, on Wednesday,
Matt Shepard won it. Won a Weed Sport.
Thursday, Brereton was Brett.
Yeah, and then Under the Lights was
the heat races. You had the twins for the 358s was what, Shepard and Decker, I think.
Because
Shepard blew his small block up. He didn't
Shepard,
run.
Shepard,
Hearn, he won a big Phelps, block heat race.
Yeah, Shepard, Hearn, and Phelps won the big block races. Billy Decker and Kerry Terrance. Now, Kerry Terrance is a guy we have not talked about.
He had a strong week, I think, and this is just my personal opinion. He had a super fast car both Saturday and Sunday, especially Saturday. Probably
he
the best
won
car
Saturday,
on
but
Saturday.
He got too.
He was too rambunctious in my opinion.
Yep,
he was
I
not
agree.
Patient enough.
Yep.
He was way over ambitious. Exciting, but over ambitious.
Yeah, I agree.
On Saturday, and I really believe that's where he lost that race on Saturday because he had a strong small block.
No, I agree with you. I agree that he had the bet. He had the car to beat
on Saturday,
and he had the fuel to beat.
Yep.
And ultimately, at the end of the day, he got too anxious.
You could tell it was Super Dirt Week, and he'd not been in that position in that race before.
Right, and it's one of those things, you know, where you talk about it. You talk about guys in Knoxville anywhere. If you have to finish second or finish up there before you can win it.
Yep.
Because you got.
Hopefully, he will have learned something from this year,
right,
and apply it to next year if he's in that same position,
right?
Because he was strong on Saturday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Very strong. He had the best car, without a doubt. Yep. And the thing that he had is the guys in front of him all had.
Yeah, he had them right where he wanted them, and he really got over a little overzealous there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Several times.
And again, they all needed needed fuel still.
Yeah.
You know, and he.
Well, they were in fuel
conservation
mode where he was full
just,
on.
Here roll. I come. Here I come. Here I come.
And
yeah.
He got in over his head a few times, and it really cost him.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
and he was pretty good on Sunday, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he came from 43rd. Now, the only question was, everybody was wondering how he got in. I don't have an answer for that.
How he, I'd have to go back and look to be honest with you.
Off
the top of my head, I couldn't tell you. He must have
that
run.
That was the hot
he
gossip.
He ran the heat
going
race,
around.
Right? He must have.
Yeah, but he didn't finish in one of those positions. That was the gossip going on. I never investigated it. I'm going by what my guys were looking at.
See, I'd have to go back and look at all the results.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure, to be honest with you.
I mean, if you, I don't know where the, because that was the only question that people were wondering, like, and they were asking me, and I did not have an answer as to how he got in, but I didn't pay particular attention to the heat races and the last chance qualifiers or anything.
I don't remember who was in the last chance qualifier, to be honest with you, and there's no results for it. I looked for them this morning.
Couldn't find them.
Catching up with my fantasy league stuff,
right.
And I could not find the results for the last chance race on Saturday.
That's not anywhere. That's not even in the...
It wasn't on Super Dirt Week Online. I didn't see it.
Oh, I'm looking here. I know if I went back and looked at my Twitter feed or any of that, I could probably find it, but I have not found that yet. So I don't know. I don't even know if it was in the was it in the Sunday story? Did they put, like, they always put results at the end of that?
You know,
or didn't you look at?
I didn't look. I only looked at the rundown. I didn't look at the story.
All right, I'm looking
for Sunday.
I'm looking now
because I was trying to get caught up on the fantasy league today. And
so yeah, you're probably what 7 months behind now.
I was going through all those results. I got the modified league is up to date. It's current right now.
Mm-hmm.
Sprint car league. I'm still in the middle of it.
Yeah, there's no finish of the. The non-qualifiers races.
Yeah.
So,
I know I couldn't find it.
Shepard got the pole award, $1,000 there. So not there. So, all in all,
yeah,
that's he
really did have a strong car both days, but especially Saturday.
Oh yeah, I thought that without a doubt he was winning that race. There was no doubt in my mind. And we were talking on the radio that he was the guy to beat. I mean, he had it. It's right there in front of him.
Yeah.
And he just.
Just for what he was trying to do, the what he was trying to maintain, that pace for 150 laps was going to be very difficult, and it proved to not be successful.
Yeah, because he got a flat tire at the end, right? Or basically the tire wore out. Didn't he wear it out?
You could tell the car started to get loose at the end, and I imagine there wasn't a whole lot of tread left on there. Because, I mean, he was right on the outside the entire race.
I mean, he was going at it.
He, you know, a few times he really slipped up in one and two, and he worked
gained,
his ass
gained,
off, fly
then,
around somebody on the outside, and then he'd give two spots
later,
back because the next lap he got too high and get out of the groove. And,
yeah. Where did he end up finishing? Let's see.
I mean, he must have passed about 15 cars and only passed three.
Yeah, he still ended up third. So, I mean, that's not too
bad. Yeah, I mean, he had a good finish, but. I think everybody in the place felt like he should have won the race at the end of it.
Yep.
And he didn't.
Yep. That race paid, if you're wondering, $600 for 10th.
I wasn't wondering, but hey, whatever.
I just saw it's in the rundown. That's the reason I'm looking at it. But
yeah.
So, I mean, he earned it, and he was fun to watch the whole weekend.
Yeah.
You know, you wanted to see him get more you wanted to see him get more out of it, but, you know,
Yep.
It is what it is. I mean, what else from Super?
I was happy with the 66, not the 66X, but the 66's performance.
Did he get another top five
for the week on with the big block? Yeah, he finished fourth on Sunday. Pretty much exactly what I expected going in. He was a top five car, no doubt. And
yep, he was there.
He had a strong car. The heat race went real well. I mean, he was real strong in the heat race.
He always has a strong car there. He's never...
Well, no, it's not always true. Last year he had Albert's car as a last-second
deal. He still got a top five, did he?
And he still finished fifth with it. And they were no way, shape, or form prepared and ready to go to Super Dirt Week last year. It was like a last-second decision.
Right.
They called Dwayne up and...
Well, he's supposed to just help with the kid, 3A, right? He was just supposed to help the kid, right?
Eventually, he was traditionally asked to go and help, and then they threw him in the car when he got there. And he was totally not sold on the deal all week last year.
Right.
And
like,
then at the end of the week,
right,
he finished his fifth just
because
he survived with the fuel mileage and all that. And But this time, they came loaded for bear, and they had a really strong car.
Yeah. I guess the other story of the week, I guess we haven't really talked about... you know, the win in your in deal, everyone we've been kind of chatting about, you know, in the chat room, one of the big talks was Ryan Soucy and talking about what he did and then the crash on Sunday. I didn't see the incident. I don't know who drove into who.
I did talk to Billy Dunn afterwards on Sunday.
Okay.
I saw him in the infield. And let's just say... Ryan's not on Billy Dunn's Christmas wish list.
Oh, we're using the Christmas card. They're not going out to dinner, and they're not exchanging Christmas cards.
Don't think so.
And you know,
now obviously, I wasn't in the car in either car. I don't know.
I didn't see it.
I didn't see the. I saw the accident. I didn't see it close up. You know, I saw it from a long distance.
Yeah.
So to say who's at fault,
I don't know. I only got
one side. I didn't get the other side.
Right. I mean, my thing is, you know, you can say that. Well, why is Ryan out there? Blah blah blah. I mean, how are you going to learn? I mean, everybody's got to run the mile for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
It is what it is.
If you're allowed to, if your car owner says,
go for it.
Jeremy's telling him, stay out there the whole race and run the race.
Get the laps.
Then you got to do that.
Right. You got to get the laps.
I realize he was laps down. And Billy's argument was, I guess, for a couple of laps, he'd chopped him. So he was aggravated, excuse me, that he's got a lap car.
Right.
Up front with the leaders, because he was, top five at that point. And, you got a lap car mixed in with the leaders, and he's chopping them for a couple laps in a row. Why are you chopping me? I'm in the top five. You're two laps down or whatever it was at that point. So I understand his frustration. You know, I'm not saying he needs to just get off the racetrack, but if you are laps down and you know it and you're in the mix with the leaders and you know somebody's there, you got a guy in your head telling you there's somebody behind you and it's fifth place. You do need to give him some room.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm not saying you got to roll over and die.
Right.
But you do need to give him some
room. You know what the problem that is caused, though, when you get that the lucky dog deal?
That
makes guys race.
That's the thing I'm not sure of. If he was one lap down, he was in the lucky dog
position. I don't know what lap that crash was.
I thought Billy had said he was multiple laps down, but I don't know for sure.
I don't know what lap that was that it happened. I don't remember, but whatever.
It was fairly early.
But again, if you have that chance to get back on the lead lap, you got to do what you got to do.
You could still let Billy Dungo and still be in that position. You just don't want to let another lap car
right,
go
right,
by.
And you don't know who else is there. And I mean, there's a lot of different ways to look at it.
And then the leaders are lapping somebody else next. And
right, and you're trying to stay
with
them.
Now you're
you're trying to get back to that guy. And knowing how difficult passing can be, there's so many scenarios that
it's
got to go through your mind if you're driving the race cars. Again, I don't know who did it. And, you know, Ryan Soucy, he earned his way out there. They do a win in your in race.
Yep.
And he put himself in it. And everybody's got to learn. So whether he learned from it and he made a mistake and he realizes he screwed up, I don't know if he did or didn't.
Yeah, that's just it. I didn't see him to talk to him afterwards.
Right. I didn't see the crash. So I don't know if who got into who or what.
Right. I mean, I couldn't see it enough to make a decision.
It sucks for both of them, and I really feel for Billy Dunn, you know, coming off winning the race and to have that super let down on Sunday. That sucks.
Yeah, and it happened fairly early too.
Yeah, and that sucks. I mean, that totally sucks. The end of your day like that,
right?
You know, so
and like you said, I didn't see the crash well enough to form an opinion of who I think might be at fault or who wasn't. You
right,
know?
Right. I didn't either, and that's where I can't really, you know, comment on that and get in the middle of that.
Is he sleeping?
I don't know, Chris. How you doing over there?
Good. He's snoozing.
You even got your microphone on?
No.
Good grief.
No, I don't even have it on.
There you go.
I shut it off when I was up the phone.
So what were you doing this weekend? Well, we were all at Super Dirt Week.
How many demolition derbies did you go through this week?
You know what? I'm just going to mute that back. Yep.
Oh, look. There he is. He's awake.
I was in Virginia on Saturday.
Oh, okay. That's Virginia. Right. I remember you saying that you had the demo derby this weekend.
It was a good time.
Yeah.
Nice.
So it's I mean, I thought Super Derby, like I said, that was probably the best racing I've seen at the mile. And as a whole, if I'm looking at Super Derby as a whole, looking at every race that I went to,
yep,
and every race that I saw, I thought it was the best racing overall that I've seen.
The weather was good.
It
was
none.
Cool, yes. Of course, it's October. It's Syracuse. It's going to be cold.
Yeah.
But you know what? It was dry. Little bit of rain early Wednesday, but nothing major. Still got the race in Wednesday night at Weedsport, and after that, it was really beautiful all week long. And it was just cool. But you know, most of us fans will suck that up and expect that as long as it's dry.
Yeah.
That's the thing you worry about.
Yeah.
So all in all, it was a very good week. I'm pretty sure the World Racing Group is satisfied with the way things went. I know Joe Scott Nicky sent all of us employees an email early this week that he forwarded to everybody, an email that he received from Andy Fusco.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, those of us who've been around a long time know who Andy Fusco
is. Yep.
Has been around Dirt Motorsports and the whole World Racing Group. You know, that whole thing. He's been around this whole sport for many, many years. I think he's missed maybe one or two Super Dirt Weeks in his entire life, you know, since it's existed. And he wrote Joe a nice note saying that, you know, commending him and his staff, and they did a great job. And he thought that Sunday's race was the best Super Dirt Week Sunday race he's ever seen.
Yeah, that was...
Which is kind of nice. That's just somebody that's been around to see almost all of them.
Yeah, you know what I realized? Looking back, this was my 10th one. That's it. That I remember. Because I was a little kid, you know, but that was on count.
I've been going every year since 85. I've only missed two of the Sunday races.
I didn't realize I was there for all the other ones.
One,
looking at it.
One was work-related. First year starting a job.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have any vacation.
Well, we started watching.
I went up in the middle of the week for a couple of the weeknight shows, but didn't see, you know, the Sunday race.
Yeah.
And then the one that Billy Decker won, that we all had to go back in November.
Yeah.
Again, I used my week of vacation for Super Dirt Week, so when it got rained out, I couldn't go back.
Right.
So I missed that one. So I've only missed two since 85.
I'll tell you what, this is our what? This is beginning our fourth year now?
Fourth season. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
And the thing is when you look
at it. This was our first show 3 years ago, right?
That's right.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, is that for...
2011.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. And if you think about it, we started sitting together to watch the 200.
We've been doing this for
since 2011, but we started sitting together in the stands in 03 or 04.
Yeah, 04 was my first year. It's because it was Tim Fuller. I know the only reason I know that is because I have hanging on my wall at home. I have the first race report. One of my good friends took a copy of Very Auto and had the center story that I wrote for my first Super Dirt Week framed for me. So I still have that.
Yeah,
and
that's
Tim,
cool.
And it was Tim Fuller winning. That was my first year really in writing. So that was 2004 when I really got into this whole writing deal.
Nice.
So, yeah. Yeah. So, and...
I did a couple before that, but I haven't been to the last two.
Yeah, you've been missing out. Don't worry, though. I did have our celebratory beverage prior to the start of the 200.
I heard
one at the beginning. That was it. Afterwards,
after that, it's just emptiness?
Yep.
Canadian Thanksgiving can sneak up on you in a hurry.
I love Canadian Thanksgiving.
Canadian Thanksgiving.
It is.
It is.
It is. Monday's Canada's Thanksgiving Day.
Oh, jeez.
Do you own a calendar?
Huh? He doesn't care. He's American.
I know. Yeah.
I like our friends of the North, eh?
That's right.
So
I'm sure you didn't.
I'll be there tomorrow.
I'm sure you didn't offend a soul.
So what are you doing this weekend? You're off, right? You're going to Brockville, right?
I'll be headed for Brockville tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm off, taking it off, going away, doing a little Great Escape with the girlfriend. So
nice.
Yeah, cool. Relaxing. You know, something different.
Brockville tomorrow and Saturday, and hopefully we will not be racing on Sunday.
Yeah. Well, how's the weather look?
Sunday's a rain day. I looked a couple of days ago. I'm going to look again tonight.
Not that it means anything,
but I looked a couple of days ago, and the weather was not. It wasn't the most promising forecast.
But, you know, everything changes. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know, I'm not, I don't even, you know, this weekend I'm not worried about it because, again, after a Super Great Week, I need a week off. I'm tired. And then 2 weeks now, guess what? Love Eastern States.
They freaking do.
Woohoo! Love it. Can't wait. Cannot wait.
Yeah, I can.
Dude, it's Eastern States, man. How can you not like Eastern States?
I used to love it.
What happened? It's awesome.
We've had this discussion a million times. Beat a dead horse. Need new management.
I love it. Can't wait. Can't wait to be there. I love the 3-day event.
They've destroyed that race. I'm
sorry. Hey, this year. Now, how many
caution laps are we going to have this year?
Oh, there was a lot last year. Oh,
the last 3-4 years.
It's now, I did hear this. I asked Joe Scott Nicky if the last 25 are going to be run under, if the caution laps are going to count. And he said, what's the word I'm looking for here? Right now, no. So the last 25 will be run under green. So that will change that race.
Because, that'll help at the end, but
yeah,
it's the whole race getting to that point. It's all caution. I mean, I know you can't run 200 laps all green. You'd be there all day at that place.
Oh,
there till midnight.
You know, the problem you get is, you know, everybody, you know, one of the other things that I heard a lot of, there were some cautions at, you know, I-88, and there were some cautions, you know, at Rolling Wheels. They had some issues with the modified cautions and so on. I mean, Chad Holman took a nasty flip.
I saw the video.
You know,
of the
that was nasty. But,
power wreck.
You know, I think what was neat about Saturday night, and I think you have to take this into account, there were 132. When you look at, there was 24 modifieds at Rolling Wheels. There was 48 cars at 5 Mile Point, and there was 60 at I-88.
Yeah, but now you're not counting the ones at Syracuse either.
Right, you're not counting the guys that ran Saturday afternoon.
So everybody was adding them up Saturday night, but they were forgetting about all the cars at the mile.
Right, but I didn't want to count them because those are just guys, you know, that's a separate deal. I'm just talking on at a single point in time, there were 132 cars racing. During the day, you know, there's some crossover there and so on, so that's why I didn't count that. But 132 cars, you know, and you're going to get cautions and incident when you have that many race cars on the racetracks, period. You know, because there are instances where guys, you know, and this is what happens in Eastern States, why there's so many cautions, because you have guys racing their way in that don't have the experience of being in the big race and that know what they're doing. I guess that's the I'm saying that in the best politically correct way. You know what I'm saying? So, you know.
You want me to say it?
No, I'm not going to. You know, everybody knows what I'm talking about. But, you know, it's just you don't have the experience factor. You don't have the talent, the same amount of talent when you have that many cars.
Competing. There you go.
No, and that's a fair assessment. I'm not taking anything away from anybody that made those races. But, you know, they're not all the what you're used to when you see like a Super Dirt Series race or whatever. When you have that many cars competing. It's unbelievable.
That place is so narrow. It's so hard to pass there. And
I mean, you're going to have 45 cars, 43 cars start that
usually,
race?
Yeah, they'll usually start 44, 45.
Yeah, you know, so you're going to have wrecks. And
it's hard to pass.
I'll be honest with you. I'll be the first guy bitching in the grandstands when they go under caution and they're 9 laps.
Yes.
I'll be complaining because I'll be
pissed. The other issue. Caution after caution, and the cautions take forever.
Yep, because you got to open pit road and let everybody cycle through.
The fans are just sitting there and sitting there and sitting there. Like, I didn't pay to watch these cars go around in a parade. If I want a parade, I'll go to Macy's on Thanksgiving Day in New York City.
I know we had, and I didn't go to the Outlaw 200, but I know they had an issue too at the beginning of that race with a ton of cautions the first 100.
The first half was probably one of the worst first halves I've ever, and it was still a decent show, but for that race, it was one of the worst first halves I've ever seen in that.
Yeah, just too many.
In that race.
I just heard there was
caution after caution. They couldn't get more than 2-3 laps at a time.
Okay.
Very, very unusual for that race.
Yeah.
Extremely unusual.
So
it was just one of those nights, which you're going to have that over 20-some years.
It's going to happen. It's, but you know.
The history has told us the last few years this has become a regular thing with the 200 in Orange County.
Yeah, they got to figure it out. I agree. I hope there's less cautions. I mean, I know they strive and they work for it, and but we will see.
Yeah.
So
can't wait.
Well, Chris, anything to add?
I don't think so. I think we covered everything. You going to be here next week?
What is next week? Yeah, probably.
Next Thursday?
Yeah, probably.
All right.
You.
I leave for Eastern State.
I know he doesn't want to. Do you want to touch on the chase at all or anything?
No, screw that.
I know he doesn't like. I know he doesn't like to.
You guys go ahead. Turn my mic off.
Kevin Harvick won Charlotte.
Yes, he did.
I didn't know. You know what?
He's been.
Can I tell you this? I didn't even know that.
He didn't. I'm not going to lie, the other race dominated like the last 10 races and finally won one.
I know he's been good. I mean, who's on the bubble now? Who's on the verge of being out? Tell me Jimmy Johnson's on the way out.
Jimmy Johnson is out right now going into Talladega. Brad Keselowski. I'm trying to remember now. Casey is maybe out by 1 point or he's in by 1 point. I know there's 1 point from the last guy in to the first guy out.
So who's the guarantee? The only guys that are guaranteed are Logano and Harvick.
Right.
Yeah, because they won.
They've won two races. Yep. Now this is the third race before the cut.
Right.
Okay.
So the winner of this goes in, unless it's Logano or Harvick again. And then after that, they figure out by points. And they'll be eliminating another, what, four guys?
Or yeah, four guys, yeah. Yeah. All right, that's enough of that.
Another crappy thing, like we've said all along with this whole format, one of the best cars in the entire chase is not even in the goddamn thing.
Kyle Larson.
So stupid.
Because you're wearing a Larson shirt,
right? It's so friggin' stupid, this format. It literally is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life.
It is dumb.
It is.
You know, I get...
It's the drama, yes. It's created drama. There were brawls up the yin-yang the other night after the race. Did you see any of that, at least?
No.
Brawls all over the place. People smashing cars on pit road. Oh, it was insane. So they got the drama they wanted. But
right.
This isn't the WWF. There's certain guys that should be in contention, and there's certain guys that should not be. I mean, you got a guy like, and never mind that I'm a fan. I'm just talking, forget that side of it.
Right.
He's been one of the best cars in the entire chase. His worst finish is seventh.
But he didn't make the chase, so he doesn't
But he's
count.
Not in it.
Right.
But then you got guys like Allmendinger or Almirola that are taking up spots. Why? Why are they
there?
They
won races. That's it.
It's so stupid. It really is.
Then win your race.
Ridiculous.
So the only two guys that have won are Logano won and Kevin Harvick won. Kyle Busch did not win in the chase, right?
No.
Okay. So then he is currently the guy on the bubble. Or he's the guy that's in first. Then you've got Newman, Edwards, Jeff Gordon, Denny Hamlin, Casey Kane. Now they cut four cars. Yeah, so the bubble cars.
The bottom four. Jimmy Johnson's in there.
Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Jr.
Brad Keselowski. And Matt Kenseth.
Okay.
And Casey Kane has a 1 point advantage over
Three
Matt
of those
Kenseth.
Four guys are former champs.
Yeah. Like Hamlin is seventh, and he's got a 16 point edge. I mean, he could still screw up and lose it, but
now, I guess if you want to look for the positive side of the chase, which it's very difficult for me to find a positive thing, but for some of those Jimmy Johnson haters, the chase right now the format is good because he's on the verge of getting kicked out.
Yeah, but it's
he literally could not win this title if he does not make it through this week.
Yeah, and somebody said it though, right? I mean. Here's the thing. They got three races or four races in each round. You win one race, and you could drop out the next three, and it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Exactly. Stupid. And that's where I got a serious issue with this. You can be so inconsistent like Harvick has been. Harvick's been the fastest car for the last 3 months.
Every race.
He's dominated yeah. almost every race this season, it seems.
Yeah.
But he's only won a couple. Because he won this week, now he advances. But he's been so inconsistent.
Ironically,
super
Mike's,
fast.
Ironically, Mike's not yawning now.
No, it's just...
It really is. It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make sense to have a system where either you win and you're in or you're out. It's not baseball. It's not
exactly.
Soccer. It's not football. It's racing. It's always been different.
And that's what they're trying so hard to
because
be. They want to be the NFL, and it's not
can't.
The NFL.
And you're not going to be March Madness because nobody cares about NASCAR like they do about college basketball.
Right.
And
it's not the same thing.
And people don't gamble on NASCAR like they do college basketball. They just don't.
No.
They don't gamble on NASCAR like they do football. That's,
right.
Why are those the most watched sports? Because people are gambling.
Yes.
And they want to make
and
money.
It's, and it's a different kind of gambling where if you do gamble on racing, it's your driver that you gambled on against 42 other guys.
Right.
As opposed to, okay, you gambled on the Giants against the Eagles.
And you get six
it's
points.
It's one-on-one.
And you get 6 points. You know, like, yeah, you're spread. You know,
you got
whatever.
A 50-50 chance of winning.
Right. Right.
Not, you know, there's 42 other reasons why you're going to lose.
Right, exactly. So it's, I don't know. It is what it is, but.
It's asinine.
It's just stupid that we have to keep changing it. What happened? Just let them race and see whatever happens, happens.
Yeah. What happened to the sport being based on your overall performance throughout the whole year? The whole year doesn't mean squat anymore.
Yep. No, I agree.
It's based on how your last 3 weeks were.
Yep.
It's dumb.
No, I agree.
I don't get it.
I don't either.
I mean, in all seriousness, at the end of the season, if you calculated the points out like a normal season was, say, 25 years ago, where it was the entire 36 races total points,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be looking at that 42 car's got a legitimate shot to finish in the top five, but yet the best he could do is 17.
No. The best he can do technically is second, because when you get kicked out,
17th is the best he can do.
No.
There's 16 guys
you have to make the, okay. I'm thinking because I know like guys like an AJ Allmendinger, technically, based on points, once guys keep getting knocked out, they get regular points again and compete against all the guys that are knocked out. So you technically can finish what, in the top five? You can finish fifth in points if you don't make it to the final race.
Even if you didn't make the chase in the beginning?
If you made the chase, I think it is.
Yeah,
and then they break you at the 16th spot, and then, then you're racing for 17th.
Yeah, it really is
stupid.
It's silly.
Yeah, so.
I mean, Allmendinger or Almirola could not finish any of the 10 chase races and worst be 16th.
Yep.
How stupid is that?
It doesn't make any sense, but it is how it is. Anything else you want to hit on, touch on?
You and I haven't been here in weeks, so I don't know. What are we missing? You got Trophy Cup starts tonight out in California.
78 cars. I've been getting the updates.
78 cars?
Yep.
I knew they had a hell of an entry list.
What else?
Night one of the Trophy Cup, which for those of you who don't know, that's a 410 wing sprint car race at Thunderbolt Raceway, Tulare, California. It's one of the crown jewels as far as wing sprint car racing goes. Yep.
So?
It's a three-night gig that starts tonight.
Other than that, I love Eastern States. That'll be the next time I got to...
Small Block Modified Super Dirt Series tomorrow at Brockville. Big Block Series Saturday at Brockville.
And then you've got Penn Can, King of the Can tomorrow
King
night.
King of the Can is tomorrow night. That's the next to last day old race of the year?
Yeah.
Gobbler's
the last one. And then you've got a couple weeks you got Yates County racing Friday, Saturday. So
yep.
Still some races to go. I mean,
Yates County's racing the same as Orange County, right?
Yeah, my schedule is pretty
pretty
much done here. I mean, I got this weekend off. Like I said, going away, then 5 Mile Point races Halloween.
Orange County. Between Orange County and Charlotte.
It's Halloween. I think I'll go Saturday. I don't think I'm going to go Friday night. I'm going to go Saturday for the modified ROC finale race.
I might go to the modified show.
Then I am going to Charlotte. And then the 15th, I'm debating between Bridgeport's. I think they have a poker race.
They got their weekend deal.
Or Susquehanna, one or the other. I'm debating.
Why, what do they got going on?
The last 410 race.
That's
of the
not
year.
The Candy Bowl show, is it?
Yeah.
With the ARDC?
No, I think they had a big falling out with ARDC.
Oh, the Candy Bowl is not.
They had a huge fallout with ARDC. Susquehanna did, yeah, and there was an issue.
So the Candy Bowl is canceled.
I don't know if it's a Candy Bowl or what. Hold on, let me look. I'm on their website.
That was always ARDC's last race.
Yeah, I'm looking for the schedule, but there's nothing here.
Speaking of that.
All right, here we go.
They're racing this Saturday at Grandview, too.
Grandview's racing this weekend, yeah. So the 15th is the final showdown, it's called. It's 410s, 358s, 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
The Candy Bowl is the same week. It's the 25th.
So it is still on.
They have the PA Sprint Series, which I believe is 305s.
Mm-hmm.
Wingless Midgets, so that's ARDC, but it's not ARDC sanctioned.
Ah.
Sportsman Modifieds, AMCS Stock, 600 Microspeed, Sidewinder Sprints, and Legend Cars.
So the race is still on. It's just not an ARDC race.
Yeah, there's a falling out with ARDC.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Something happened. I don't know what it was, but
so you're contemplating Bridgeport or Susky?
Yeah, one or the other. Yeah. So Delaware State Championship.
I'm down for that
weekend
if we go to Bridgeport.
Okay, I'll let you know. I don't know which one I'm going to. I know you want to go there because of Dwayne, but I'd like to see Hodnett one more race. You know how that is. I'm a homer.
I haven't been to Susky in years,
so
Let me know what you decide.
All right, I will.
I might do something.
So. What do you think, Chris? Wake up. Hey, you know what's nice, Chris? You've done, 9 shows in a row by yourself. At least now you didn't have to talk.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly.
So.
Working out just fine.
So. Well, I think we should put a wrap on it. It's an hour and a half. That's a that's a moneymaker.
We did good.
It's a moneymaker.
Moneymaker?
Yeah.
Where's this money?
I don't know. I'm still waiting for the paycheck, but.
We could use a sponsor.
Yeah, that'd be nice. That would be nice.
Here. You want a sponsor?
Yeah, dirttrackdigest.com.
No. Here we go. Bang.
Well, D'Amico's one of the few people who actually spent money.
Done.
There we go.
And oh, yeah.
Yeah, get... No.
One of our... Should
here,
we...
Here's another sponsor.
One of our former sponsors. Well, actually, our first ever sponsor we had on this show
yeah.
was Greg Revelle.
Yeah, that was. I'm sure. Did you talk about that last week? And yeah, that sucked.
I think we would be wrong to not at least throw a little shout out because I know you and I were not here last week.
Yeah, so. I know. I agree with you, and I made sure we mentioned that.
It's a big hole.
On Friday night, I talked about it. You know, we've always sponsored the last couple. Well, this past 2 years now, Dirt Track Dodges has sportsmen Friday Night Lights, the sportsman portion.
Yep.
The last few years, we've done it in memory of Tom Ames. You know, and this year, I made sure I mentioned, you know, Craig Revell. I mean,
yes.
I don't think people will realize how much Craig did for this sport until
what you said over the PA at Syracuse Friday night was very, very good.
Like he does so much for this sport, and he gave back to everybody. I mean, yes. The little guy, the big guy, it didn't matter.
And he's the nicest guy you could
ever meet. Nicest guy in the world, you know. And it always happens to the nice guys, and it sucks because he is one of the best guys in this sport.
Yep.
The guy never had a negative word to say about anybody, anything. Never. You know, a track could really screw up and step on the ding dong, and
he would
Craig,
find the positive.
He would find the positive in it. And he always tried to support our sport, make it better, and you know,
and that way, that's how he always reminded me of Tommy because Tommy was always the same way.
That is not true. That is not true.
What?
He had one complaint one time.
What's that?
One time, he was upset that Rich Post was sitting on the Nerf bar at Jessica's car and was going to
screw. That's right.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. So yeah, but okay. So
happy birthday to Rich, by the way. He actually has a birthday party.
Yeah. So
what is he like? 75? He's had 40 birthdays since I met him.
So it's. So that was definitely a devastating one. I mean, I know I was in shock when I heard it.
We're
definitely going to miss that guy. And, you know, another guy that we lost this past week and another good guy. I mean, I don't know if you knew him or not, from the Finish Line Chaplain, Pastor Dave Miller.
Yes, yes. You know, he stopped and saw me every Saturday at the gate.
At Fonda. Every week at Fonda
all,
you know,
summer long.
When I saw him at Fonda,
yep.
You know, I always talked to him. And, again, another just a nice guy.
Yep.
And a guy that loved racing, loved being around the track, being around the people.
Yes, he did.
And all that. And it's just.
He was at Fonda every Saturday.
Yeah. I mean, it's just. That was a loss that, you know, it just. You know, we were talking on the way out. It just seems like it's the nice guys.
Another one, is, since we're on this subject, that I got a text late on Saturday night that I don't know if you know. I'm sure you do once I. You may not by name, but once I tell you. Longtime Jack Johnson supporter, who's been was always in Jack and Ronnie's pits since I'm 44, and he's been there as long ever since I can remember. Mm-hmm. I spent my entire life as a Jack Johnson fan, and John Fissler was always
with Jack Johnson
in Jack Johnson's pit area for as long as he's been alive. He was the gentleman. If anybody was a Jack Johnson fan, ever saw anybody around Jack's car or pit area that was in a wheelchair, that was John Fissler. And he unfortunately lost a battle with cancer and passed away on Saturday night. So thoughts and prayers go to his family, too, because John was a very good guy. Another guy that was always really nice. Biggest Jack Johnson fan you'll ever meet. And I always thought I was the biggest one. But if there was ever anybody bigger, it was him.
Yeah. It definitely, man. It's been a tough week for that. And again, we send our thoughts and our condolences. You know, I thought the coolest thing I saw with Craig Revell is that the GoFundMe thing, they did a donation page for him. And
yes.
They raised almost $9,000.
Did they really?
From donations from people to help cover the cost of his memorial and his funeral. And that's awesome. I mean, that shows you the impact he had. I mean, you look through the names of the people that gave back. It was race teams. It was promoters.
Yep.
It was, you know, a lot of people that really respected Craig and what he did. And, you know, and the sport needs more guys like him.
Yes.
I mean, at the end of the day. I mean, it was his job and he did it full time. But he was the one guy, again, that he always was positive. Always.
Yes, always.
Yeah, and it was just, you know, it was sad. I mean, it was probably one of the saddest things. And what really stunk is this year he was going to be a part of our team. Like, he was lined up to be on the DTD team. And
he was?
Take a major role in helping us out during the week, yeah. And, you know, I was excited about it, and he was excited about it, you know, because I love working with him. I mean, I've worked with him before, and we've sat in the tower at Can-Am just, you know, bullshitting, whatever you want to say it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, to hear that it was gone, it's surreal, you know.
Yep.
It's very sad. So
extremely.
I mean, with that, you know, I guess I don't want to end on a sad note. So
I didn't feel right if we didn't mention
No, I agree with you. I agree. I didn't,
because I know we missed out on it last week.
Yeah, I know Chris mentioned it last week, and I do know, if you know what though, as Craig would say, and as all of us racers do, I mean, you race on and we go on to the next one. And I mean, I know this weekend, a lot of racing. Again, we mentioned all the places you go. I mean, I forgot to mention Devil's Bowl. You know, if you want to go see sprint cars, they got the Scone on, they got Spone and Sportsman Modifieds on the dirt on Saturday.
They've run, what, two races already?
Yeah, now? So if you're, you know, again, so get out, support your track, have some fun this weekend. You know, and again, next time you're going to be negative or you're going to be pissy or whatever, you know, think about, you know, the, you know, what we've talked kind of about a little bit here at the end. You know, be thankful for what we have. I mean, it's
and we're all guilty of pissing and moaning.
Oh, me too. 1,000%
Getting mad about certain things. And you know what? We all love this sport to death, or we wouldn't do this.
Yep.
And it's hard to be positive all the time. And that's why I really respect the people that we know, friends that have come and gone, that were always positive, like Craig or Tommy Ames.
Yep.
They were always had a positive word. Because I wish I had more of that in me.
No, me too, because I don't.
I can be cynical. I can be miserable sometimes.
I got a cynical side. Yeah, yes. I agree with you, man. I agree. You know, and, you know, just look at the bright side of things and be thankful that you can be at the racetrack. So.
Yep, absolutely. So what you're saying is I need to smile next weekend.
Yeah, smile weekend. At Eastern States and pretend you like it.
So we'll do it again next week.
Yeah,
we'll be here.
Sounds good to me.
Well, have fun on your travels. When sounds like we'll be we'll rally the wagons and come back for episode number 135 here next Thursday, right here in Finger Lakes One. Yep, 135. Can you believe that? Here we go. We'll see you next week.
Schlong.
Finger Lakes One.